Good morning, everyone. We've been working on this parasitoid of the emerald ash borer for about 5 years now. And it was first discovered by our cooperator in China, Dr. Yang Zhangqi, who is seen here collecting in Tianjin, China. In Tianjin, China, these ash trees were fairly heavily infested with emerald ash borer. These actually are trees native to the United States. These are Fraxinus velutina. And the soil in Tianjin is very salty, the trees were very stressed, and there was a high level of emerald ash borer, but there also were a lot of parasitoids. Between 60 and 90% of the EAB were attacked by this parasitoid, Spathius agrilli, so we thought it was very promising and have done some work on it. It is a braconid. It's a gregarious ectoparasitoid of EAB. This is a picture of the female who goes along the bark listening or feeling for the vibrations of feeding larvae. She then finds an EAB, drills through the bark. She will then paralyze the larva, so the larvae no longer feed once they're parasitized. And they will then lay between 1 and 20 eggs on the outside of the EAB larvae. These larvae then feed external to the emerald ash borer. They develop, they spin cocoons, and in Tianjin, China, this parasitoid can go through 3 or 4 generations in a single summer compared to only 1 generation for the emerald ash borer. The other thing that's very interesting is that the two populations are very well synchronized. Spathius agrilli will only attack late 3rd instar and 4th instar larvae, which makes sense because they're gregarious and they need enough resources. The larva must be large. And if you look at the black dots, that's the emergence of emerald ash borer. The emergence of Spathius doesn't happen and doesn't peak until a month and a half to 2 months later, giving the emerald ash borer time to develop to the stage which is appropriate for parasitism by Spathius. Now, the first thing we had to do was figure out how to rear this insect in the lab. And as I mentioned before, it's very important that the emerald ash borer be feeding. It can't be naked, it has to be inside of a stick, and it has to be feeding, which means it has to be in an ash twig. And so how we solve this problem is we take short pieces of ash twig and drill an external chamber into which we put an emerald ash borer larva. We then wrap floral tape, which you can just buy at a Michaels or a A.J. Moore, and we then wrap that bundle up, put it in a vial with a female Spathius, and she will then put her ovipositor through the floral tape and lay eggs without any difficulty. So that's our rearing method. So we solved that problem. And we also had to do some host specificity testing, looking at whether or not this insect was safe for release in the United States. And I'm just going to summarize that here. We found in testing both in China and the United States that Spathius attacks significantly more emerald ash borer than non-target insects in no-choice tests. In China, Dr. Wang also did some olfactometer tests and found that Spathius is strongly attracted to volatiles emitted by ash leaves. To a lesser extent, willow and Chinese prickly ash, but no other plants that were tested, and there were a lot of them, elicited any response from Spathius. And what we have found in our rearing is that if we do not have ash foliage in the incubator with the Spathius when it's parasitizing, our parasitism rate is very, very low. So we concluded and wrote an environmental assessment saying that we thought Spathius was fairly specific, and we applied for permits for release. I forgot to mention extensive surveying also in China with over 2,000 other agrillus larvae from other species. No Spathius agrilli were found. And so in 2007, in July, just in time, as usual, we got permits to release Spathius in the field in Michigan. This is Ivich Fraser here and myself doing a release. We released them in August. Naturally, we released them August 22nd, which was a Thursday. on August 24th, I'm driving along listening to the radio, and I hear that a tornado has blown right through the town where I released the parasitoids. But amazingly, it only blew through the south end of the park, and we had released at the north end of the park. So, phew! So we were good. But we released in that year, in 2007, in three counties, Gratiot County, Michigan, Saginaw, and Oakland. And we had about 311 parasitoids to release that year. Well, we wanted to see if they had been doing their job and had actually attacked emerald ash borer in the field. And we went to each of the three sites and cut down four trees at each site in March of 2008. So that was over the winter. We cut them down. We figured if we really wanted to find these things, we'd cut them down right where the releases had occurred. We took the logs back to the lab. We peeled half of them looking for parasitoid cocoons. And the other half of each tree went into some barrels to emerge off the adults. And we were very excited. Look at what we found. We found multiple cocoons, lots of them. These photos were taken by John Lolito, but look at the number of cocoons that were attacked in this emerald ash borer larva. That's very unusual. For emerald ash borer in Michigan, you don't very often find any parasitoid with multiple cocoons. So that was very exciting. And as I said, 18% of the EAB galleries had these small gregarious cocoons. And keep in mind, these were only in two trees. So there were quite a number of EAB that had been attacked. 49% of the EAB galleries actually had large single cocoons, which we knew were definitely not Spathius agrilli. And 12% of the galleries had live EAB. The rest were attacked by the woodpeckers. And so we reared out the cocoons, and we reared the insects from these barrels, and it was Spathius. We were so excited. We had recovered them. The other parasitoids were a Tanacolis species, which is native to the United States. So we did have evidence then that Spathius agrilli had reproduced and overwintered at least at this one site. At the other two sites where we were working, the emerald ash borer densities were so low that we didn't recover Spathius simply because we didn't find any emerald ash borer. But we were very excited, and so we thought, well, we will then look at further reproduction in the summer of 2008, and we'll look at dispersal away from the release point. So if you look on this overhead map, this is where we had released the parasitoids in 2007. And then we took 10 trees within 10, 20, 30, and 40 meters from the release point. We then spent an entire week with four of us peeling logs, which was a lot of work. And we peeled half of each log again, and then again put half of the logs into these barrels. And we found nothing. Absolutely no Spathius whatsoever. I couldn't believe it. You know, I would have thought with all the, we had found a total of 87 cocoons in two half trees in 2007. And in 2008, we found nothing, not even any evidence of cocoons from 2007. And, you know, we found a lot of other things. We found live EAB. We found a lot of woodpecker predation. We did find some cocoons of Atanacolis, but not a single multiple cocoon. And I almost wonder if the two trees that we had taken right out of the release site, I don't know, maybe we just removed the entire population of Spathius that had reproduced. However, David Cappard, who works with Deb McCullough, he's at the same site in Oakland County where we had released it and recovered the Spathius. He found this year, which is a gregarious parasitoid, could be Spathius floridensis, we sometimes see that, but he's going to rear them out for us, and we hope that we will find that this is Spathius agrilli and that they have just dispersed out away from where we were looking. And we also have more release sites. We released again at the two sites in Gratiot, Saginaw, and Shiawassee counties. These sites are the three life table sites that Jian Duan talked about. And these two sites here in Ohio, Leah Bauer and I released all three parasitoid species there. And again, we're going to cut down trees at these sites this December, peel them, rear them out, and see what we find. And we're very hopeful we're going to be releasing more parasitoids next year, because there's a multi-million dollar parasitoid rearing facility in Brighton, Michigan. It's up and running. My technician was out there last week training them, giving them Spathius. They're going to start rearing. We've developed methods for stockpiling them, and we're hoping we're going to have a lot more individuals to release in 2009. And I'd like to acknowledge my technician, Tracy Ayer, and Ivich's crew for all their help. Thank you very much. Time for our questions.